Amen. Let's go to Isaiah chapter number 5. Isaiah chapter number 5. I had several of our men come over and help with Brother Levi Hall's activity yesterday with his class. Had a father-son fishing event and just had a good time. Good turnout for that. Good time last night. And that was a blessing. Just spend some time with those men and those young men. Always a good investment to invest in the next generation. Always. Always a good investment. And so we had a good time. It's been kind of a busy week, but we're going to go into a busy summer, so that's all right. Here we go. Isaiah chapter 5, you'll look in verse number 18. Isaiah 5, verse number 18. The Bible says, "Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin as it were with a cart rope, that say, let him make speed and hasten his work, that we may see it, and let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh." Now what that's saying is they're basically flaunting their sin and daring God. And you know what? That's what America's doing right now. They're flaunting its sin. Folks, this thing going on right now, come on, this thing going on right now with this Pride Month, that's flaunting sin and daring God. You know, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But the Bible hasn't changed on the things that it teaches about these things. And but mankind's kind of daring the Holy One. Verse 20, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light, light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore," by the way, here we go, all these woes, they started all the way back in verse 8. You'll see a woe, verse 11, you'll see a woe, 18, 20, 21, 22, listen to this. Verse 24, "Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore, as the anger of the Lord kindled against his people, and he hath stretched forth his hand against them, and hath smitten them, and the hills did tremble, and their carcasses were torn in the midst of the streets. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. And he will lift up an ensign to the nations from afar, and will hiss unto them from the end of the earth. And behold, they shall come with speed swiftly." Heavenly Father, Lord, help us. Dear Lord, we're standing up. We're wearing ourselves out. Preachers are wearing their voices out, lifting them up like a trumpet all across this nation. Lord, we need a revival. We need it so desperately. Lord, we needed it. We need it to begin in the church. We need it to go from the church to affect the general population. Lord, you said where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Lord, I guess we're asking for that type of grace. And Lord, I pray that you would help us in the midst of dark days to be, Lord, to be a strong light, a bright light, so that we can point people to Jesus. May we be reminded from the scriptures what is good, and may we call it good. May we not be afraid to look into the Bible, and what you deem as evil, we call evil. Lord, whether it's politically correct, whether it's socially acceptable, Lord, we need to stand where you stand as your children. So help us to do that. Give us the courage to do that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're talking about the spirit of Antichrist, and I'm not going to do any review. We reviewed quite a bit last week. I'm going to kind of just jump into it. We said that the spirit of Antichrist actually is a combination of several spirits. We talked about the spirit of selfishness and how it's come upon our country so strongly. You think about this. Jesus said that it was asked, what is the two greatest commandments? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and to love thy neighbor as thyself. And yet the Bible says, in the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. And so the devil says, I don't care what the first two greatest commandments are. I'm giving you a greater commandment, a devilish commandment. By the way, a commandment that if you'll obey it, will help to create a spirit in our culture that will be willing to embrace the Antichrist. You say, well, how does that prepare us for the Antichrist? If all people are worried about is themselves, and a man shows up to say, I'm going to make things better for you, easier for you, then you know what? That's the person that you're going to want. We're going to talk about this a little bit in our morning service, but you know, folks, the people that benefited you most when you were growing up were not the ones that always made it easy for you. You know, that teacher that maybe you despised in school because, man alive, she didn't cut any slack and she held a high standard and she, you know, man, in every other class, you were gold, but all of a sudden you got in her class and you turned in that paper and it came back with looking like she bled all over it, red marks everywhere. And you know what? You maybe didn't like it, but I promise you probably of all the teachers you had, she helped you the most. And the more we keep trying to make things easier, it's almost like if that's the way the general population of Americans starting to judge who they vote for. Who's going to make life easier for me? Who's going to write me the biggest check? Who's going to make it so that I have to work the least, put out the least amount of effort? And I'm not over-exaggerating to say that that is the basis by which more and more people are going in and voting for government officials. They're running on that. They're running on that platform. And so, again, selfishness is setting the entire system up so that we'll be able to accept somebody who just simply promises to make people happier. The world wants you to believe that personal happiness is more important than biblical holiness. That may have been one of the most important things I said under that point, and that's simply not true, folks. You know what? Our job is to please the Lord, and you know what? If that pleases us, good. If it doesn't please us, we should still please the Lord. Number two, we talked about the spirit of compromise, and we got into this a little bit last week. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, and you remember I had the two gentlemen stand up here and help me. We started out with good is good and evil is evil. And then we got to the point where good is preferred, but evil is acceptable or at least tolerated. And then those two places switched. Evil now is preferred and good is tolerated. Then pretty soon we got to the point where we're getting there quickly. Evil is good and good is evil. But I hope you remember that last step. I also said, listen, don't underestimate evil. Evil then must be accepted and good must be outlawed. And that is where we're heading in the United States of America. I hope you're keeping an eye on it. Your preacher mentions these stories. It wouldn't hurt you to Google these things. It wouldn't hurt you to read these news accounts. I mean, folks, we're not talking about communist China and Russia. And I know I'm repeating myself some, but I want to keep blowing these trumpets. Just across the border into Canada, and even during the COVID, pandemic, there was a lot of these things that were going on in the United States of America. Where you know the thing about it is, if you vote, you know, God haters, antichrists, and perverts into office, and you give them the tools and an opportunity to persecute those who preach against what they are, they're going to use those tools. Right. And we saw, depending on where Christians were, some churches were persecuted at an extremely high level. I mean, this is insane, but unless it's changed in the last week, do you realize Brother Treber out there in Santa Clara, California, is still meeting in his parking lot? He's got an empty 3,000-seat air-conditioned auditorium right beside the parking lot, but for some reason meeting in there instead of meeting out there. And there's no even sense to it anymore, other than we have a bunch of wicked heathen politicians that are going to use this. By the way, they've opened the door to almost every other wicked thing going on out there. And yet they're still persecuting the churches, holding down the churches. you're going to see that. What's the preacher? What is it? Spirit of Antichrist. That's what we're teaching on. The spirit of Antichrist. See, before Antichrist can come, there has to be a spirit. Think about it. There's am I wrong to say this, folks? You feel it. There's a different spirit in America than there was just a year and a half ago. There's some things that have changed. There's a different spirit even amongst people in the feeling of what I can say out in public and what I can't than there was a year and a half ago. Okay, what is that? There's a spirit being created amongst the general population that readies us so that we're either willing to accept an Antichrist or we're too scared to speak out against an Antichrist. And that spirit started with the spirit of selfishness. So we got to look in the mirror on some of these sins, folks, because we've helped usher in some of this. Number two, the spirit of compromise, where they're determined to make good evil and evil good. How do you accomplish this? You control the terminology. We talked about that last week. Change Bible. Listen, they're changing Bible terms for sin into more acceptable terms. We talked about how the Bible talks about a drunkard, and yet society calls them an alcoholic. You know, the Bible labels the sin of sodomy, and yet they want to be called gay. Shedding of innocent blood is the Bible term for an abortion. Shedding of innocent blood. Yes, by the way, one of the things on the list of the seven things that God hates the most, and yet what are we calling it today? A termination of a pregnancy, or this one, woman's health care choice. Okay, fornication's called free love. Bible preaching's called hate speech. They're controlling the terminology. Bible calls an atheist a fool. The world calls an atheist an intellectual, you know, and gives him a job down at the university. Okay, number two, replace Bible Christianity with a new religion, secular humanism. And that's where we left off last week and where I want to kind of pick up now. But it's very important that we understand that humanism, secular humanism, is a religion. This is one of the things that just infuriates me. They say, well, you know, separation of church and state, you know. So the church supposedly is supposed to stay out of that. We're not allowed to introduce religion into the public school system. Folks, secular humanism is a religion. It was called a religion by the founders of secular humanism. So why are they allowed to propagate their religion, but I'm not allowed to propagate my religion? Say, well, but you worship a God, so do they. Theirs is just a little G God. They think they are God. It's a religion. We talked about Humanist Manifesto 1 that was published back in 1933. And by the way, I said there was 34 signatures on this, and including philosopher John Dewey. It was written by Roy Wood Sellers and Raymond Bragg. Say, who are these men? Preacher, who are these men? I can tell you who they are. They were antichrists. The Bible says there are many antichrists. Before you can, the world's going to accept the one antichrist, there's going to have to be many antichrists. Say, why would you say that? I don't have written down the names of all 34, but I can tell you there are 34 antichrists. And I read the Humanist Manifesto 1. Did you download it? Did you read the entire thing? If you did, you're going to understand that I can't read the entire thing, nor am I really interested to. But there's 15 tenets, and I took everyone and read it and said, how do I summarize that with one sentence? And again, read it and listen to this online and see if I'm inaccurate, come tell me. But I think I gave a very fair, accurate summarization of what they set out to do back in 1933, Humanist Manifesto 1. This is what their tenets were. This is their 15-point belief system. Number one, there is no creator. Number two, man is the result of evolution. Number three, man has no soul. Life ends at death. Now, by the way, just those things right there changes the entire mindset of a world. Because all of a sudden, if none of the past matters, and as far as you're concerned, the world begins the day you were born and will end the day you die, and there's nothing before, and there's nothing to face afterwards, you realize how that changes how a person views their life and what they want to do and what they will do and what they won't do? Number four, people who believe in any religion have simply been brainwashed by their upbringing and culture. Number five, any human views that are based on faith and not logic must be rejected. Number six, and here's their quote, the time has passed for belief in God. Number seven, the only religion that should exist should be based on human experience and reasoning. Faith is denounced. Number eight, a man's body and personality is all that exists of him and should both should seek full development and fulfillment here and now. Number nine, worship and prayer should be replaced by, here's a quote, a heightened sense of personal life and a cooperation to promote social well-being. Number 10, there should be a total abandonment of the belief in the supernatural. Number 11, man should be re-educated, that's a scary term, to define life based on science and reasoning, not on sentimental, here's a quote, sentimental and unreal hopes and wishful thinking. And so the classroom is no longer a place where young people go get educated. It's a place where they get brainwashed, okay? And so understand that, okay? They're being reprogrammed to believe these tenets. And it didn't start last year. Folks, this has started way back in the 1950s, and they just pushed a little bit until someone started screaming, and they backed off. But they didn't back off as far as they were. Then they wait a few months, and they push in another area, and they push another area. I mean, I watched a video of a lady that went to a educational board, school board meeting in our country. And, folks, I can't even tell you. She's holding up a booklet with a drawn illustration of a sin that is so wicked that I can't say it from the pulpit. And these are the books that was being handed to her second grader. Two men engaged in things I can't speak of. Don't tell, listen, they're not educating, they're recruiting. They are putting things in the brains of little children that child should be so innocent of and not understand and not even have a clue about. They're coming into the pre-kindergarten arena and telling those children that, you know what, even though maybe your mom and dad has always told you you're a girl or a boy, you have the power to make that choice for yourself. And here's some of the reasons you might want to reconsider what you are. Listen, that is not going to naturally appear in the brain of anybody. But this is what's being, and folks, the gloves are off. I mean, Nickelodeon, some of the stuff that's going on this month, Nickelodeon, which I guess is some kid's, you know, channel, has a transvestite cross-dresser with their own children's program for this month that kids are sitting down in front of the TV and watching on a children's channel, introducing things that, I mean, half the stuff, Brother Klein, thank you for sending me some stuff from time to time. I've got several conservative news sources that pump information to me. And half the stuff I'm reading, I used to be able to come up and say, well, I need to tell our folks about this. I can't even say the stuff. And our young people are being exposed to this. I'm talking about people in Greene County, Indiana need to wake up. They need to head down to Shackamack School. They need to head to Lynch School. I don't know what is or isn't being introduced in these school corporations, but if I was a parent, I'd find out. I'd find out. I mean, I think every single Christian parent better get proactive, because there's more stuff your children are being exposed to than I think they're even coming home and telling parents about. And This is where we're at. This is the insanity of where we're at. I don't know why I went off on that, but I think number 10, there should be a total abandonment of the belief in the supernatural. Number 11, this is Humanist Manifesto 1, 1933. It sounds like I'm reading a description of the belief system of the average American right now. You know what that tells me? They succeeded. Okay. Number 11, man should be re-educated to define life based on science and reasoning, not on sentimental and unreal hopes and wishful thinking. That's where I went off on it. Number 11, any acceptable human religion. So they're going to start deciding which belief systems, which churches, which religions are acceptable and which are unacceptable. Must work towards joy in living now and satisfactions in this life. Number 13, churches that teach a point of view opposite humanism must be altered or eliminated. Number 17, that's where we're going to get to today. I'm getting there. Communism should be replaced, should replace capitalism. Now why? Okay, let me tell you two terms you're hearing that are being put together, okay? And I want you to stop and think. People just hear things and start repeating them, and they do not think. It just drives me nuts. Come up with a slogan, and everybody says it. We know, well, we need to have equality and justice. We need to have equality and justice. We need to have equality and social justice. We need to have, you know, those two words, equality and justice, are diabolically opposed. Okay, what is equality in its purest form? Equality means that everybody should be equal. Let me ask you this. Is that always just? No. Absolutely not. Okay, so the kid that doesn't do any work in the third grade, refuses to participate, cusses the teacher, won't do any homework, should be graduated into the next grade along with the same kid that came and did his homework, was respectful to the teacher, worked hard, and advanced himself. Is it just for them to both go to the next grade? Nor is it just for someone who refuses to work a job, refuses to go to work, okay? But he wants the same lifestyle, same benefits, same everything, equality and justice. Yet, go back and look through the news. How many times do you see those two words on the same sign? You know why? Because they want to redefine justice as being equality. You know, I'm sorry, but this is why I did it. I'm just going to say it. You know, when Jesus had a, you know, when he chose five disciples, you know what he did? He gave one talent, gave another one two talents, gave another one five talents. According to their several ability. And that tells me they weren't equal. They weren't equal. Oh, hold on. The guy with five went out and made 10. The guy with two went out and made 4. The lazy one went and buried his, came back with the one, didn't double it. So Jesus said, well, take some of the one from the guy that has 10 and let's help this guy. Is that what he did? What I'm saying is we've got to start thinking about the terms. See, I think one of the things we've turned off our brains. I really want to challenge you. As you're watching the news and you're listening to reports, first of all, having a real good knowledge of Bible principles helps you with your discernment big time. Because I'll hear people say something, I'm sitting there comparing it, first of all, to the Word of God. And I'm like, that's not right. That's, what did they just say? That's not right. I know this verse says it's not this verse. But also, it's not even that they are trying to get by with giving us stuff that is opposite of the Bible. They are treating us as if we're ignoramuses and we don't have a dictionary. We can't look up definitions. And you say, well, why is the average American, why aren't they thinkers? Why don't they think? Okay, because our curriculum's been so dumbed down. Because, you know, we've got to have everybody pass, no matter whether they work or not. So the curriculum's been so dumbed down that we have uneducated people graduating from high school. Sorry, it's true. Okay? I mean, we've got junior high and high schoolers that can hardly write. I mean, we're busting them in from the public school system. Not everybody, but we've got them. Okay? They dumbed down the curriculum. Okay? And then we don't teach common sense. Now, watch this. We're a drugged up society. Okay, little Johnny's got the wiggles in kindergarten. Well, you know, I had the wiggles in kindergarten too. Okay, but nobody called my mom and said, we need to get him on Ritalin. Folks, we have a drugged up society, and they're starting them as children. By the time they get in their teen years, you know what? They start looking for, you know, any drug you take on a regular basis, sooner or later, it does not produce the same results in your body. Do you know why a guy says, well, I'm going to just smoke a little marijuana? And boy, that first couple of times, you know, at least Brother Brian told me, it was amazing. Whoa, yeah, dude, man, whoa, you know. You know, you might think about just the way they talk. Maybe you could, there's brain cells dying, okay? You sure that's good for you? What? Dude, man, like, what? You know, yeah, that's, I rest my case. So, but they got, you know, so our bodies build a tolerance. Isn't it interesting how God created us? And so it's like, if you choose to sin, you have to sin more and more to try to get the same. It's craziness. When me and Donald drove into Oklahoma, I didn't realize Oklahoma had legalized marijuana. I mean, folks, I tell you, we can't go through any little burg, any town without not just one, but three, four, five places. They paint them all kind of like a green, kind of this neon type green color, and they're dispensaries. And here's one of the advertisements. Life hurts. And then what's the name for the marijuana? The cannabis. Life hurts. Cannabis helps.
Oh, no, CBD.
CBD? Yes, CBD. Life hurts. CBD helps. I don't even know what CBD is. Wow, a bunch of you jumped in right there. Whoa. Gnarly. Sorry. She's like, no, I've studied this to protect my children from it. Wow. I mean, it's just, I mean, cars that they, you know how they'll do the wraps on the cars, you know, completely covered with marijuana and advertisements on it. You know, I thought there was a day that if you were doing that stuff, you tried to hide it, you didn't wrap your car in it, you know, and kind of let everybody know as you're traveling down the road, hey, I got some in my car. You know? I guess if it's legal, they don't care. What, think about this. Why, preacher? What is it? What is this? Why should we fight this in Indiana? I told Brother Donald, I said, man, I'm just pray to God. It would break my heart before I died to be driving through my home state, which I love, and just seeing every small town, all of these dispensaries and all this stuff being pumped in. You know what they're doing, folks? I'm talking about the spirit of Antichrist. Preacher, I don't get it. You don't get it because you're a thinking person. You don't get it because you're a Christian. But I don't get it. How in the world will the world just surrender to this when the Bible warns against it? You realize that we have an uneducated, drugged up, doped up, high society. Basically, if they do go to work, get home, and they sit in front of a TV set, and they get high all night, and they go back to work the next day, and that is their life and their weekend, day after day after day. And you know what they're going to give in to? Whatever keeps the TV on and keeps the marijuana available. And it's, you know, when we see this humanistic philosophy and you begin to see what people, what society is doing, what the culture is doing, it's the spirit of Antichrist. It's preparing us. It's not just these little things. That's what's wonderful about being a Christian. And y'all have been in church and you're learning the Bible or you've learned this. And everything, all of a sudden, you can see it through the eyes of Scripture and you can properly diagnose what's happening. And so, anyway, I can't get through these 15. I said, churches that teach a point of view opposite humanism must be altered, eliminated. Communism should replace capitalism. Humanism will seek to encourage all men to seek ultimate, unrestricted fulfillment during their life and will fight to remove any boundaries that prevent such activity. Now, I mentioned Humanist Manifesto 2, and I'll read down through some of this. And that was published later on. And you can download it. Google it and download it. You can read the actual document. By the way, make sure you're downloading the actual document, not somebody else's explanation of the document. That's what we need to do when it comes to our news sources, too. Stop believing what the media is telling you a bill says, and why don't you download the bill and actually read what it says, okay? But I'll just summarize. They've got it broken into sections here. Religion. So they have a whole section on religion, Humanist Manifesto 2. Traditional, dogmatic, or authoritarian religion should replace revelation, God, ritual, or creed above human needs and experience. That place, revelation, God, ritual, or creed above human needs and experience, do a disservice to the human species. So anybody that has a dogmatic, authoritative religion, that means thou shalt, thou shalt not. And we place revelation, and they're talking about the word of God when they say that, God, ritual, or creed above human needs and experience do a disservice to the human species. Any account of nature should pass the test of scientific evidence. In our judgment, the dogmas and myths of traditional religions do not do so. C, we find insufficient evidence for the existence of the supernatural. D, as non-theists, and that's what you'll hear them call themselves. They're not atheists, they're non-theists. We begin with humans, not God, nature, not deity. E, we reject those features of traditional religious morality that deny humans a full appreciation of their own potentialities. In other words, any line that tells me that I can't cross a line morally needs to be erased. Now, F, we can discover no divine purpose or providence for the human species. G, no deity can save us. We must save ourselves. Say, preacher, this doesn't exist. Yes, this isn't the game plan. Yes, this is exactly the game plan. And I'm not going to get there today, but I am. Let me just jump forward real quick here. We're talking about how in the world do they change? How in the world do they accomplish what they're wanting to accomplish? Folks, we talked about changing the terminology. Let me just say this. I'll stop here. Stop. Listen, control the terminology, replace biblical Christianity with a new religion, secular humanism, attack the pillar and ground of the truth. That's the church. The church is described as the pillar and ground of the truth. You have to attack the Bible. You have to attack the church with false accusations. You have to literally attack, find a way to eliminate or alter every church. So they either line up and help push their agenda, or they're eliminated, shut down. Outlawed. That's why I put that last one over there. Folks, they're facing it in Canada, not China, not Russia. You talk to any pastor that pastors in Canada. If they open the Bible and read the verses that condemn homosexuality and preach a message on that, they are in danger of going to jail. Okay, they can be arrested and be put in jail. Okay, what happened to freedom of speech? Okay, freedom of speech. When you're talking about humanism, freedom of speech is defined as you have the freedom to agree with us. You don't have the freedom to disagree with us. And more, that's becoming, you know, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, First Amendment rights. Folks are under attack. That's why they're after the Second Amendment rights. Okay, because they understand an armed America has the potential to rise up and unseat them. Okay, and so that's where we're at. So talk about that a little bit more next week. Ethics. Oh, wait, and then the last one under religion is this. Last two, promises of immortal salvation or fear of eternal damnation are both illusionary and harmful. Promises of immortal salvation or fear of eternal damnation are both illusionary and harmful. The last one under religion, there's no credible evidence that life survives the death of the body. Ethics, here's what they write. We affirm that moral value derives their source from human experience. Ethics is autonomous and situational needing no theological or ideological sanction. To deny this distorts the whole basis of life. This book is getting in the way of our basis of life. Okay, is what they're saying. Moral values must be derived from human experience. Ethics is autonomous and situational. You ever heard of situational ethics? Okay, in other words, I live by a code of ethics. My moral ethics are derived from the Bible. Okay, the ethics that I live by, my code of honor that I live by comes from the Word of God. They detest that. They don't want any boundaries. They don't want any thou shalt or thou shalt not. And so that's where we are. We strive for the good life here and now. Pursue life's enrichments. Reason and intelligence are the most effective instruments humankind possesses. Not faith. Amen. Reason and intelligence. In the area of sexuality, we believe that intolerant attitudes often cultivated by orthodox religions and Puritan cultures unduly repress sexual conduct. The many varieties of sexual exploration should not in themselves be considered evil. We do not wish to prohibit by law or social sanction sexual behavior between consenting adults. And by the way, that's even being changed. Democratic society. To enhance freedom and dignity, the individual must experience a full range of civil liberties in all societies. This includes the recognition of an individual to die with dignity, euthanasia, or right to suicide. Individuals should be encouraged to contribute to their own betterment. If unable, then society should provide means to satisfy their basic economic, health, and cultural needs, including whatever resources make possible. A minimal guaranteed annual income. That is being pushed more and more and more. Yeah. Parents, do not, I'm begging you, do not get excited about this idea of receiving a monthly check for every child you get. Folks, they are buying us, and I'm listening to Christians who are condemning it out of one side of their mouth and planning excitedly how they're going to spend it out of their other side of their mouth. If we start taking this, we're done.
That's right.
We are done. Well, how's that different than Social Security? It's a lot different than Social Security. Social Security, these older folks paid in for all their lives. You and your kids haven't paid in that enough to get that. Okay, so good night. I think if they're going to throw extra money at anybody, why don't they throw extra money at the people that actually have put the money there that need it in their old age? Okay, world community. Watch this. We deplore the division of humankind on nationalistic grounds. You better hear that. One world government, one people, Tower of Babel recreated. We have reached a turning point in human history where the best option is to transcend the limits of national sovereignty and to move towards the building of a world community. What's this all kneeling during the anthem and all this stuff? Why is the American flag all of a sudden a sign of division and a sign of hate? And they're going to continue to push this agenda. If you're pro-patriotic, you're a bad person nowadays. And thank God, I really believe in the last 6 months, we've seen a backlash against that. But it's not as strong a backlash as it would have been 10 years ago. Okay, and it's a smaller group doing it, and that's all they care about. Okay, all right, so you're going to see this one world idea. I'll read this quote and we're done. I read it at the end of the message last week. John Dunphy wrote this. Part of this group we're talking about. He said this: I'm convinced that the battle for humankind's future must be waged and won in the public school classroom by teachers that correctly perceive their role as proselyters of a new faith, a religion of humanity that recognizes and respects the spark of what the theologians call divinity in every human being. The classroom must and will become an arena of conflict between the old and new. The rotting corpse of Christianity, together with all its evils and misery, and the new faith of humanism, resplendent with the promise of a world in which the never realized Christian idea of love thy neighbor will finally be achieve. Well, think about these things, folks. We need to pray for our country. Getting ready to celebrate nation's birthday. Well, let's spend extra time praying. Heavenly Father, thank you for what we've been able to look at, study, and Lord, it's all there. And they don't even try to hide it. They publish their game plan. They're pushing it forward. They're running over the tops of the rights of the individuals, rights of parents. Lord, they want our children at an earlier and earlier age so they can begin the brainwashing earlier. I'm listening to teenagers and college age and young adults parrot these things as if they're quoting the gospel. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to wake up, use our influence, each of us as Christians in our own circle of influence. May we use it, Lord, to stand up for you and stand up for the word of God, stand up for truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you. We'll start the service at 25 till.